Jesus just keeps getting better and better. Hallelujah. I remember one time sitting in a jail cell, and I thought to myself, how in the world did I get here? The walls were cold. The beds were cold. They give you a mat about half inch thick. No pillow. No window to look out of. How did I get here? And I was just there as they were singing the song, "To behold you as my king." And I just thought to myself, how did I get from there? And how did I get here? I just call it a love mystery. A love mystery. Jesus loves us so much. He loves us so much. Amen. And I'm happy to be here in Birmingham. Amen. It's my first time in Alabama. And I love it. I like it. Amen. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm, if it sounds like I'm just flattering just to say something that I'm supposed to say, just, you know, kick that out of your mind. This church is very dynamic, and you don't have an average church. This is above average church. Amen. You ever seen somebody that was just in shape? Just looked real good, you know. You're like, man, I want to go to the gym tomorrow, man. Somebody that just looked good, you know, they just, from head to toe. And that's what I see when I look at this church. It's just a good-looking church. It's a healthy church, strong church. And, if I was lost and I was trying to find God and someone invited me to this church, I would latch on to this church and I would never let go. I would show up to every service. I'd show up to every meeting. I don't even care if it was an usher's meeting. I'd be there. Choir practice, yeah, I'll be there. Amen. I would show up to church. And I appreciate your leadership, your pastor, Brother Sutton. Amen. I know he's not here. I know he's here in spirit. I am very proud. And I live vicariously what is going on here and what he's done and what you have done. It takes you and it takes a pastor to build something like this. Amen. And I'm awestruck. My God. I'm awestruck. I have nothing but good things to say about the church in Birmingham. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm so thankful for a million things. I could probably name them all tonight, but amen. Why don't we get into the Word of God and hear what the Lord has to say? The book of John, chapter 8. The book of John, chapter 8. I have met some of the most beautiful spirits while I've been here, and I'm just overwhelmed, amen. By the grace of God, I'll be back, amen. If I don't get invited back, I'll just come back, praise God. Amen. I'm like that, those old pair of shoes that just keep showing up. Amen. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 56, and we're reading to verse 58. John chapter 8, 56 through 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it And he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, talking to Jesus, thou art not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? After all, it's been over 200 years. It's been over 300 years. It's been over 400 years since Abraham died. And you're not even 50. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. And with the help of the Lord, I just want to preach on this topic, how to body slam. How to body slam the devil. Why don't you lift up your voice, give God a high praise. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We love you. God, we lift you up. We magnify you. Come on, somebody let off a shout with the voice of triumph. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, take authority, God. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord. If you take men, you put men into a room, no matter how much you really try to organize them, no matter how much you try to civilize them, you take boys, put them in a room, put them somewhere together, it's not long before something begins to ignite in him, and he will somehow, some way, maybe through words, through his own strength, begin to exercise authority over the others. In the chicken world, we call it the pecking order. Pecking order is, for the lack of better words, I'm stronger than you, and I'm bigger than you, and there's nothing you can do about it. When a man forgets what order he's in, when he forgets what position he is to uphold, then that causes friction. Friction causes wars. And when there's wars, there's chaos. Such was in the kingdom of heaven. There was an angel by the name of Lucifer. I remember as a young child, as a young man, a young boy, whenever the name Lucifer would be mentioned, I didn't show it on my face. I didn't show it in my physical expression. But there was a slight fear because I didn't know who Lucifer was. And the only thing that I had ever heard about Lucifer was that he was a devil, and that he had a long tail, and that he was like a serpent, that he had horns and a pitchfork. Growing up in the world, we had the idol in the house called the television. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The television would often tell us what to watch. And there were movies that even young boys shouldn't even see, scary movies. They would put images into our heads and images into our minds, grotesque and monstrous creatures. There was the images that I took that were intimidating, that were fearful. And I would connect those with Lucifer. And without ever seeing him, I feared him. And not only that, being sensitive to the things around me, I remember one time at my grandmother's house. She lived in the projects in Sedalia, Missouri. Amen. 251 Scott Joplin Court. Praise God. Amen. And I remember I was there. I was in her room, and there was all type of wicked activity going on in that house. And And I remember I woke up from a nap one afternoon, and I remember I knew nobody was there, and I remember the bed begin to shake ferociously, and I felt something very wicked and something very evil. I was about 7 years old. I hopped up, and man, they'd take a rocket scientist. I hopped up out of bed on 2 feet, and I spun out of the room, praise God. I never forgot that moment. I would have many other moments like that with these evil presences, and I would be afraid. I would be intimidated. I would be scared, not knowing who this devil was, not knowing what he looks like. I've heard the voice of the devil before. Amen. I've seen devils before. Some of those creatures are the most grotesque, the most ugliest creatures, horrific and monstrous. Amen. I've seen unclean spirits in people's homes, and spirits that you would not want to be around, spirits that you would not want to fellowship with. However, people's lifestyles invite creatures, and they invite spirits into their homes. I hope this is all right. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says when a spirit is cast out of a man, it goeth to and fro, and it seeks rest in dry places. Amen. And he says to himself, I will go back to my house from which I came. And the Bible says he goes back to the individual from which he was cast out from. And he comes and he finds the house swept clean. Amen. And empty. And the Bible says he takes seven more spirits, more wicked, more evil than himself. Amen. And the Bible says that the state of that man or that woman is worse than what it was before. Amen. You got to be careful if you're thinking about backsliding. Amen. You got to be careful if you're thinking about going back out into the world. Amen. That's a ball game. That's a ball field you don't have any control over. You better keep yourself in the church. You better keep singing in the choir. You better keep showing up to prayer meeting. Clap your hands and say amen. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. You know, I like those old sayings. There were times, man, we'd be struggling in the youth group, and there'd be an old saint that it would catch on to our spirit. He'd just come grab you and make you praise God until you broke through. Amen. And I love that. I love that. When you see somebody struggling, they might get mad and they might bite you and scratch. Hey, but you bring them up to the altar, lay hands on them, say, we're going to praise God until you break through. Amen. We're going to worship God until you pray through. Amen. Talking about devils. I've cast out devils from people. I remember I was teaching a Bible study to a young couple. And, amen. Young, just a good looking couple. Man, he had a good job and she had a good job. And, you know, he was pretty handsome and she was pretty and just an innocent couple. One night he called me and He said, yeah, man, I'm having some problems. I said, well, what's going on, John? He said, my girlfriend, she's acting weird, and she's waking up. She's got scratches. She's got things going on, and they were trying to videotape it, you know, in the middle of the night, trying to see what type of activity, some paranormal activity. Amen. I'm like, you might as well just stay up all night and just watch, then, if you're going to try to do all that. So we go over there. I took a man by the name of Brother Griffith with me. And I didn't know what was going on. And I figured, well, you know, it's like a Tuesday night. I'll go pray, you know, going back home, you know. And so we went over there to their little apartment. Amen. It was some old apartments. The stairs spiraled up real tight. You had to take real tight steps. We went in. There was about the third door in. We knocked in. It was a one-bedroom apartment. Amen. And the carpet was real thick. The walls were kind of thin. Small kitchen, small couch, small appliances. And we went to the bedroom, and they began to tell me exactly what happened. I said, well, why don't we just pray? You know, that's an answer all. When somebody's going through it, you don't have an answer, just tell them, well, why don't we just pray? And sometimes that's the best you can do for somebody. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, I prayed for you. He said, I haven't split the Red Sea for you. I haven't multiplied the fishes and the loaves for you. He said, I prayed for you. Sometimes that's all you can do for people. They want to keep messing up, keep tripping up, keep acting up. You know what? You can't save anybody. Amen. They have to want to be saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say, I pray for you. So we begin to pray. And I got the words out in the name of Jesus. And when I said that, she let out a scream, blood-curdling scream. I felt the devil behind it. And she fell out on the bed. And I'm like, oh, boy, now we got a devil acting up. God. I'm like, I got to go to work tomorrow, man. I'm like, I don't know if I probably went, man. She falls out on the bed. She's screaming. And then she just, boom, she just falls out. She's just unconscious. So I see what's going on. I lay hands on her and we start praying. I knew it was a spirit behind it. I didn't know what had happened after she fainted, what was going to happen next. So we start praying. We start praying. God, in the name of Jesus, speaking in tongues, Jesus' name, speaking in tongues, in Jesus' name. All of a sudden, I seen this little girl, about 5'4", probably 140 pounds. I seen her body begin to contort like a serpent. As it began to move, it began to slither up the bed. It started to go up the wall. And I said, devil, come out of her. Boom, she fell back on the bed. Amen, we prayed for her. Amen, and finally she come back too. And she didn't even know what happened. I'm telling you, devils are real. Lucifer's real. Spirits are real. Amen. If this message doesn't get anything across to you, just realize that you're not by yourself. And there are things that watch us. And there's things that study us. And I'm not trying to create any type of fear. And I'm not saying there's a devil behind every doorknob. I'm just saying the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. And I remember I was so afraid. I got back, I backslid a little bit when I was a teenager. I seen a whole youth group get wiped out. I prayed back through when I was 19 years old, and I remember I got back in church, and it wasn't long before I started I had been to clubs, and you know, I wasn't afraid of the dark. Amen. When I got in church, I started having visitors at night. I remember I'd be trying to go to sleep, and I would say my prayers at night, you know, like a good Christian should. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, my soul to keep. Amen. And I remember praying, and I remember one night I was praying, and I felt something in the room, and I remember I looked over, and there was the most grotesque, the filthiest creature I had ever seen in my entire life. I couldn't even draw it. Couldn't draw it anyway. I can barely draw stick figures, but it was ugly, and it was filthy, and I was so afraid. I didn't go to sleep that night. I didn't go to sleep. I slept with the lights on. I'm a grown man. I'm sleeping with lights on now. I was running the streets, thugging and drugging. Now I'm sleeping with the lights on. And I'm walking around and I'm pacing. I'm thinking, what in the world did I get myself into? And it wasn't long that the devil picked up on it. They started coming around more often. More stuff showed up. And there was nights, brother, I didn't go to sleep. I was so afraid. I would talk to my pastor, I'm getting attacked. There's something wrong. I'm going crazy. And I would hear voices, and I would hear things, and I was so afraid. I was so fearful. I didn't know how to get into the Word of God. I didn't know much scripture. I didn't know what the Bible said. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to be like this forever. I don't want to walk around afraid of the devil forever. Amen. There's got to be something. There's got to be a power. Amen. I'd been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd been baptized in Jesus' name. I'm like, my God, I remember when I was a boy. Amen. And we get to wrestling and we get to fighting, me and my brothers and my cousins. Amen. And I needed a power move. I needed something. Amen. I needed something like, I needed a body slam the toughest one in the room. Amen. And I remember praying, and I remember trying to find something, trying to find what I can't be like this forever. Amen. I don't want to be weak and frail and inferior forever. And the devil's laughing at me, and the devil's poking at me. Amen. And I'm trying to figure out. And one day I was flipping through the scripture, and the Bible said in James 2:19, it says, "Thou believest in one God, thou doest well. For the devils also believe, and they tremble." Brother Jermaine, when I found that scripture, I started looking up scriptures about this one God. Amen. I started watching out. I started searching the scriptures diligently. Amen. And I started finding one God scriptures, and this one God scripture, and that one God scripture. Amen. It wasn't long. I ran into the scripture. I said, "Therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he." I said, "Oh, this is serious business." I said, "Oh, this one God is serious business." Amen. And I had friends, and I used to like to debate. Praise the Lord. I felt like I was some type of theologian. And I would argue with people for hours. I mean, I'd just walk into the garage, working on a car. "What's going on, man?" "Can I help you? Have you ever had the Holy Ghost?" I'm like, "You going to throw a wrench?" And I had old ladies get mad. I try to help them with groceries, and I start preaching at them. She get mad, snatch groceries out of my hands. I debate for hours. Amen. And I prayed a few people through, though. And I remember finding these one God scriptures. And I thought everybody would like one God scriptures until I started running into religious folk. I started running into people that believed that there was more than one God. And I thought to myself, well, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He told Moses, "When you go to the children of Israel, tell them I am sent you." I thought that's simple enough for me. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." You want to get the devil mad? Start talking about one God. What are you trying to do, Brother Justin? I tell you what, I'm trying to get this church so caught up on one God that you eat, that you sleep, and that you breathe one God. I know you know one God, but I want you to breathe one God. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love him with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, everything you got." Praise God. I'll tell you what makes the devil madder than anything is when you start talking about one God. And when you start talking about Jesus is that one God. I'm telling you, the devil starts shaking. Strongholds start being broken. The devil doesn't care if you dance and you shout. Amen. But he can't handle doctrine. The devil hates doctrine. He's a religious spirit. Paul said he'll show up as an angel of light. His ministers will show up as angels of light. They'll show up with shiny shoes, gold rings, and a serpent tongue. "Well, you belong at our church." "I do, huh? Well, how do you baptize?" "Turn your motor off. How do you baptize?" Well, "What? Any way you like." Yesterday we was out shopping, and we had a man come, had a preacher come. We were talking about the things of God, and we heard a man had overheard us, and he came and he said, I overheard y'all talking about the things of God. He said, "I'm a preacher. I'm a musician." I'm looking at him like, "Oh, yeah, here we go." I'm like, all right. "Yeah, man, I'm a musician. I sing." And I was waiting for somebody to open up the can of worms. Brother Reggie said, "What? Have you received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues?" He said, yeah, but you know about the youth. You know about the youth. Change the subject quick. Because the devil hates doctrine. The devil hates doctrine. You got churches that'll shout, they'll sing, they'll speak in tongues, but you talk about a one God message. You talk about one God message. You talk about baptizing in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm not talking about just baptizing because it's something to do. I'm talking about no. We're going to emphasize baptism in Jesus' name. They say, no, you know, you Pentecostals always talk about baptism in Jesus' name. You better believe we talk about baptism in Jesus' name. You better believe we talk about baptism in Jesus' name and how there's only one Lord and one faith and one baptism. If I believed in getting tattoos, I'd probably just get it tattooed on my forehead. Acts 2:38. But the Lord said, don't do tattoos. You know, the Bible says you got to watch out for false prophets. False teachers. They come in wolves. They come as wolves and they come in sheep's clothing. The Bible says that they're deceivers. Men, reprobate. They don't care about doctrine. They don't care about scripture. They don't care about Bible. I laugh because some of these prosperity preachers, amen, if you ever heard a clip or you ever ran into them, or some of their books, they never preach doctrine. They never preach the way you're supposed to be baptized. They never preach the way that you're supposed to believe. But for the apostolic, this thing is to die for. I said, this thing is to fight for. I'm talking about one God. He said, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Antichrist. You know, you can have all types of religious discussions, and you know how it is. You know, religious folk, they got their, you know, they got their, I don't know, man. Oh, Billy Graham Bible, praise God. You know, got their daily devotional and just got notes scribbled in it. And, oh, you know, God is so good. And, yes, the church is going good. But you want to talk about one God doctrine. I've seen new converts come into the church. And I've seen them go back and tear up their homes. I'm talking about split families up because of one God doctrine. Because the devil hates one God doctrine. He hates one God believers. You say, well, what are you talking about? Because the main belief in just about every area I go believes that there are three gods. And my mind says, well, three can never be one. If somebody owes you $300, they handed you a $100 bill, said that ought to cover you. Like, hold on now. Oh, hey, hold on now. It's amazing to me how preachers of different religions and different divisions of religion, they never have a problem with 10% of the tithes. They know that number. But they got a problem when the Bible says there's only one God. There's only one God. To deceive means to mislead by false statements. And there are deceivers out there. And if you're wondering why I'm preaching this message, it's not necessarily that I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to the principality of this area. I'm preaching to the stronghold of this area. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I love this one God message. I love being apostolic. There's an old song that says, the mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father. The King eternally. The everlasting Father. Jesus Christ. First and the last. Beginning and the ending. That which was, that is, and that which is to come. He said, I know no other God. Put the Baals before me. Amen. Put the Molechs and the Asheroth gods before me. But I know no other God. And when Jesus stepped on the scene, man had been biting his nails for a long time. Man had been trying for a long time. Who is God and when Messiah is going to come? Amen. For a long time, they said, when Messiah comes, everything's going to be all right. And there come a day that there was an old young Hebrew man scraping his leather-worn sandals across the sand of Galilee. And I can see Jesus now as he bends down. He looks at the seas that he created. He was a man. He had testosterone, you know. He said, I'm about to body slam the devil. When it's all said and done, this world is going to know who God is. When it's all said and done, this world's going to know who the King of Kings is and who the Lord of Lords is. Amen. When problems, you want to know why the name of Jesus is so powerful? Because when you say the name of Jesus, it's the name of Almighty, wonder-working God. And when you understand that when you say the name of Jesus, that it's the name of Almighty God, that there is the Creator. There is no Jehovah Jr. I said there is no second in the Godhead. You know what, man? If I seen Matthew Henry, you know, I'd probably body slam him. How in the world? Matthew Henry was a Bible commentator. How in the world can you write commentary from Genesis to Revelation? And then when you get to Matthew 28:19, you want to say the Holy Trinity. I body slam Matthew Henry. Adam Clark, how in the world can you have all of these symbolisms and revelations? Then when you get all the way to the New Testament, you don't want to call God who he really is. Paul said, for there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Somebody say, my Father is Jesus. Come on, say it again. My Father is Jesus. I said, my Father is Jesus. If I look or sound like I'm being arrogant, please, please, please don't mistake me. I'm being defiant into the presence of the principality of this area. Because I tell you what, I ain't never been in an area where so many people go to church on Sunday. Everybody's going to church. Everybody's going to church. I got family members in the club till 5 a.m., in church by 10 a.m. I'm like, man, some miracle workers around here. Man. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And it sufficeth us. I want to see what the Father looks like. I want to know who the Father is. And there's a whole lot of religions that don't know who the Father is. There's a whole lot of groups. There's a whole lot of seekers. There's a whole lot of religious organizations that don't know who the Father is. And when you start inquiring and you start asking and you start investigating, you know what they're going to say? Oh, well, it's a mystery. Oh, really? It's a mystery, huh? Lord, show us the Father that it sufficeth us. I want you to expose him. I want you to show us who the Father is. James 14 and 8. Show us the Father. Jesus said, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I bet you Philip's like, uh-oh, I'm about to get rebuked. You know, Jesus would just rebuke you sometimes. Have I been so long with you? And you don't know who I am? Call him by his first name, like your mama used to do. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You want to know why Jesus went to the cross? You know, you want to know, well, we know why he desired to go to the cross. Is to save the souls of men. But you want to know why they put him on the cross? Because he claimed to be God. And if believing in this one God message can stir up a whole nation, if it can make a whole nation mad, I'm telling you, when Jesus walked on the scene, devils were coming out of, they were coming out of the woodworks about this one God message. And about Jesus being who God is. Amen. If that thing, if that belief can stir up a whole nation, what will it do today? I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll start a revival. It'll start a revival. You start talking about this one God and you start searching scriptures. You know, one of the first things, and I'm not telling anybody what to do or how to do it, but one of the first things I show people, hey, you got to know who God is. He must believe who he is. You got to believe who he is. You got to know who he is. Why? Because the devil's going to come at you. And if you're believing that Jesus was just some old man half naked on a cross somewhere, that ain't going to work out for you. Hey, man, if I ran into Michelangelo to paint, I'd body slam him. He paint Jesus so feminine looking and weak and soft. I'm telling you, Jesus was a man's man. He was strong, boy. He'd minister all night long and he'd pray for people, cast out devils and heal the sick, then go pray all night long, come walking on the water. That's why they believed him. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power is given unto me. I gave it to myself. Talking about Jesus, this one God. One God message. They say, man, why is this man preaching like this? I remember I got asked to speak at a little meeting one time. I don't even know why they asked me, man. They must have been desperate. Praise God. I remember I was praying. I said, all right, well, I'll pray and see what the Lord says. And I remember I was praying. And I remember I was praying and fasting for a little bit of time. And I'm not trying to sound like I'm, you know, some old spiritual levitating preacher. Amen. I'm just flesh. Amen. And I remember I was praying. I remember fasting. I woke up one morning. I was in the living room. I was just sitting on the couch and I couldn't go to sleep. It was probably about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was just sitting there and I don't know why I was just sitting there. And I remember all of a sudden I heard this choir singing and I'm like, yeah, buddy, you done lost it now. You lost all your marbles now. And I remember I heard this choir. Man, I'm like, choir sounds good. It sounded like maybe 20 or 30 members. And I'm like, man, this is different. This is kind of cool. And then all of a sudden, my spirit picked up on it, and it was a Trinitarian choir. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, this ain't right. And I don't know what song they were singing. It sounded good, but it didn't feel good. And I said, oh, man. And then all of a sudden, I seen something come, walk through the wall. It come and stood behind me. And it was an angel come. He was a big angel. And he put his hand behind my back. He said, he got real close to my ear. He said, I can make you great if you compromise your doctrine. And when he said that, I could feel miracles. I could feel power. I could feel some strength. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. And I remember I was just standing there, and I was kind of shaking. I was like this. And I remember he was right there, and I said, I didn't know what to do. And I reached him, Holy Ghost, and I remember the Holy Ghost come up, and I remember I brought up my finger, and I said, there's only one God. Amen. And when I said that, he transformed me, and he growled at me. Growled, boy, he got real close. I remember the hair stood on the back of my neck, and I was shaking, and he turned. He went through the couch, went through the wall, and I'm like, man, I'm going crazy. This is crazy. I was about to call my pastor until I realized about 3 o'clock in the morning. I should have just called him anyway. Hey, man, he's at home sleeping good. And I said, man, there's something to this one God message. The devil hates when you start believing and talking about one God and talking about Jesus as God. It said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. He said, you beware that men don't spoil you, make a treasure out of you because you don't know who God is. You don't know who Jesus is. You got people walking around thinking that there's three up there in heaven. How many times have I run into people and they say, I'm so thankful for one God. I was trying to pray to three for so many years. I didn't know who to pray to. And now I say, just call on Jesus. Just call on Jesus. I said, Jesus is that name. Jesus is the name that is above every name. For every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, and I don't know why, but I feel to say this. You know, if you're a young lady and you want to know if a young man is true blue, start talking doctrine to him. Say, well, what do you think about doctrine? What do you think about one God? Let that be the topic of conversation. You know what? And if he's carnal, he'll back off. He'll back away because there's something about this one God doctrine. It's something about when you're walking around saying Jesus is God. Jesus is the King of all kings, Lord of all lords. I was preaching a revival up in Northwest Territory, way up there, Canada, 60th parallel. It didn't even get dark up there. Moon's like, that's too far for me, man. I ain't going. Like, son, yeah, you up. They just arguing. No, I ain't going no more, man. I remember these young ladies were coming to the revival from, they were from Jamaica over in Toronto area. And they were coming and they were so open the first night. And then I watched them the next night and they wouldn't respond. And I'm like, And I'm like, something's not right. Something's not right. And then she came and we were talking after service one night. She said, you guys are Jesus only, huh? I stood back. I'm like, Jesus only? I'm like, well, yeah, I'm Jesus only. But I knew she was meaning something inferior, almost derogatory. You know, Jesus only as if we don't believe in God. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Yeah, I'm Jesus only. Who else is there? Is there another God? Because if there is, then let me know. Because Jesus said, I am. I am the first. I am the Alpha. And I am the Omega. You got to get a love for this one God message. You got to get a desire and a passion for this one God message. Why is that? Because that is the catapult. That is the propeller for all revelation. That's why I got a problem with some of this stuff, some of this material. Because I'm just like, well, hey, how are you going to have true revelation when you don't have the revelator? You know, and I love the book of Revelation, but I'll be honest with you. The only thing clear to me in the book of Revelation is that Jesus is God. Don't get me wrong. I love the vials and I love the trumpets. I love the seals and I'll try to study out the best if I can. But I have come to one conclusion that I understand is that when I turned and I saw a man and his hair was white like wool and his eyes were a flame of fire and his feet looked like they were burned. Amen. It's brass. I'm talking about Jesus is the Almighty God. Talking about Jesus is that Almighty God. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Don't you have to fight and battle and try to understand everything as long as you rest your head on a pillow at night saying that Jesus is God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus is God. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said this, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. God said, if you're going to call me by name right now, Moses, just call me I am. That's why they got mad at Jesus. And he said, before Abraham was, he said, I am. He said, I'm still there. I'm in the past, the present, and the future. Amen. That's why I love Jesus. I love reading about him. God Almighty, walking, talking. Mary's holding that baby. Mary's looking at this baby. Look at this beautiful baby. And she was a mother. This baby that I have created. Look at his eyes that I have created. And Jesus is looking at her. Look at them eyes that I've created. That's why it says, beware lest men spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And it says, after the rudiments of the world. You know what that word rudiments is? It's logic. And that's why a lot of atheists, they'll try to approach you, you know, it's logic, logic, logic. And well, why don't you prove to me that God is real? And I'm like, you want me to prove to you that God is real? That's like asking you to taste colors and smell sounds. God is on a whole different plane. You want me to prove to you that God is real? Well, prove to me that fear is real. Fear is real, but you can't see it. But you know, is there happiness? Prove to me that happiness is real. It's just on a different plane. So when God said, you know what? I think it's about time. And the book of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I'm like, my God, what else do you need? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Can I be redundant? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You can't tell right now, but there's some devils that's mad in the house right now.
God told Isaiah, he said, remember the former things of old. He said, for I am God and there is none else. He said, I'm God and there is none else. I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. There's none like me. There's no other that can do what I can do. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, there's nobody that can do what you do. Tell me what's going on. Tell me how to be saved. He said, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. He said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Is God a liar? Come on, is God a liar? Is he a deceiver? He said, beside me there was no other Savior. Jesus come walking on the scene, the Savior of all men, they said. Somebody say, I love this one God message. Come on, elbow your neighbor. I love this one God message. I remember one time it was a Friday. I was coming out of the, I was about to go to the bank. And I remember I was on the phone with one of my friends. I said, I don't know why. I said, I feel like something's about to happen, though. I feel like something's about to happen. And there had been a young man that had come to church. I had been working on him and his family. I met him at the library one time. And I was working on him and his grandmother. And I ran into him. He came to church. He told me, he said, well, I don't believe in the Holy Ghost. I said, that's fine. Well, just come to church. Just come, man. Just come check it out. And I don't believe in the Holy Ghost. That's cool. That's all right. So I remember sitting there. We're sitting on the front row. I remember God, it was song service. We're praising God. Next thing you know, he's over there speaking in tongues. I'm like, yeah. Well, it freaked him out so bad, right, that he jetted out of the church. He left. I'm like, uh-oh, you know. And so I had run into him for about a few weeks. While I ran into him at the bank, he was there with his uncle. His uncle was an elder in another church, a different belief, all right. And I remember I saw him. I'm like, hey, Brandon. I'm like, what's going on, man? I wanted to talk to you about your experience. And all of a sudden, his uncle stepped in between us. What do you believe? And I'm just like, well, you know, Jesus. And then he cut me off. He knew what apostolics believe. Acts 2:38. Must be baptized in Jesus' name. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Separate yourself from the world. He started breaking it down and this and this and that. He's trying to intimidate me. No. And it was a wrestling match. It was a wrestling match. It was what's going on. Wrestling with words. He was like, no, you know, no. He said, you better be careful. You're preaching works. I said, no, you better be careful. Because you don't know who God is. I got mad. I'm like, you know, I'm arguing. That's by the time I done lost it, man. I'm right in front of the bank, right in front of the bank entrance. The tellers is looking out. I mean, everybody's looking. There's a pizza place right on the other. I mean, people got pizza in their hands. I mean, we was wrestling. He said, well, no, you better be careful. You're preaching false doctrine. I said, no, you better be careful. I said, because I've got scripture. And Jesus said, I am God. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, the Almighty, saith the Lord. I said, you argue with Jesus. I'm almost done. I was mad. Because you want to know I was mad? Because there's been great men, verbal beings, and J.T. Pews. Amen. And men that have went on before us. You know what? I remember Brother J.T. Pugh talking about him getting chased home from school, being beat up and puking blood because he believed in one God message. You think I'm going to let some old thin, soupy water Trinitarian try to tell me that my doctrine ain't real? I get mad when you start going against my doctrine. When you start attacking, that's my belief. That's what pulled me out of hell. That's what pulled me out of the lake of fire. Don't you talk about my doctrine. Don't you talk about my church. Hallelujah. You want to know what carried Pentecost all the way to this point now? It was one God believers. You know what Paul said? I haven't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, them boys preach simple. They preach this simple, but you don't get no more simpler than one. You don't get more simple than one. He said one thing. I almost lost it, Brother Collins. He said, well, you know, I think we believe the same thing. I just think you're confused. I don't know what it was. Somebody must have been at the church interceding for me. Because in my mind, Brother Josh, I see me grabbing him by his right shoulder, coming up like this, and coming up and just, ah! Say, man, he's crazy. Hey, look, this message changed my entire life. God. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. How do I put a cap on this? You take that right there, and you exercise it. And you get it in your heart. You get it in your mind about this one God message. I'm not saying you got to be a theologian. As long as you got it deep down into the depths of your spirit, of who God is. And as long as you understand, God, give me this. You know what? That's the never-ending revelation. Jesus is God. I'm telling you, it'll propel you further than you could ever imagine. It's one God message. You love this one God message? Come on, you love this one God message? Is there any lovers of truth in the house? I know it's simple, but the Bible's simple. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Come on up here real quick, young man. I don't mean to call you out. I don't mean to embarrass you. They did it to me when I came into church. I'm going to do it to somebody else. There were some brothers today. They went out. Get some suits and some shirts. Jesus went with him. Jesus said, I'm going to get something too. And I don't know the whole story, but all I know is he come. God filled him with the Holy Ghost during the song service. You don't get that believing in three gods. You don't get that type of power believing in three. You only get that type of power believing in one. Does anybody know his name? Come on, I said, does anybody know his name? I said, we'll shout it on the streets. We'll shout it on the rooftops. We'll shout it in the back alleys. I'm telling you, Jesus is the Almighty God. Why don't you rejoice on that note? My God, I think we ought to just rejoice and shout. Come on up to the, tear this altar up. I'm glad that I'm in truth. I'm glad that I'm in truth. I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. Come on, you ought to shout on the devil's dime right now. The devil thought that he had you. He thought he was going to get you in false doctrine. But somebody came one day. Hey, the devil thought that he had you. He thought he had you. He thought he was going to keep you locked down. Keeps you in sin. Keep you in bondage. And one day some old apostolic opened their mouth and said, do you know who God is? Do you know who God is? And now I can say, I know who he is. I said, now I can say I know who he is. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'm going to raise up a standard against him. And you know what that standard is? Jesus is God. Come on, clap your hands, lift up your voice. I wonder if you can get with somebody right now and just begin to rejoice on the simple fact that I know who he is. I said, I know who he is. Thank God for the message. I know who he is. Come on and rejoice.
He's God in the Father. He's God in the Son. God in the Holy Ghost. And I know God.
He's God. And God will never change. I know God is God. And Jesus is his name.
He's God in the Father. He's God in the Son.
God in the Holy Ghost.
Somebody that's about to go down in the water in Jesus' name tonight. But while he was preaching tonight, God started to show me some stuff. This is a big deal. When God came down to the earth and robed himself in flesh, and when finally the spirit of Lucifer had an opportunity to confront God in flesh, the Bible said that the Spirit of God drove the man Christ into the wilderness for 40 days. And he fasted and he prayed for 40 days. And he was alone and he was with the wild beast. And at his weakest point, Satan came and appeared before him. Listen, this is the God of all creation and all of the demonic forces of the world face to face. There's a very important conversation that's going to happen. of all the things that hell could have done, the one thing that hell did, the one conversation that Satan wanted to have, he started the conversation by saying, if thou be the Son of God, the one thing that he had to do was he had to undermine the identity of God wrapped up in the flesh. This is the gate, the great conflict of the ages. God of all creation, robed in flesh, and Lucifer, if thou be the Son of God. And what he did was he answered with the word of God. He said, it is written. He had something to say. He said, I didn't come with a fluffy sermon. I didn't come to sermonize. I came to say, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, if you are the Son of Man, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all power. And he said, it is written, there's only one God, and he's the only one that should be worshiped. The same thing happened at Gadara. The Bible says that Jesus went over onto the other side. I'm telling you, this is, you can't see it in the world of the spirit because spiritual realities are invisible. But somebody ought to praise God right now. Somebody give him praise. Come on, there's a great victory happening in the spirit world right now. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody praise him.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Come on, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him.
You ought to praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Now God is holy. 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 Worthy. Worthy. Worthy.
Listen. Hold on just a moment. Let me show you why they're praying. I'm going to show you how big of a deal this is. When Jesus identified as a man the doctrine, when he established that he was God absolutely in the flesh, when he conquered death, hell, and the grave, when he nailed it down to the ground, the Bible says that he went into a place called Gadara. In Luke chapter 8, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? When you nail this stuff down to the ground, when you have a spiritual encounter like the preacher's talking about tonight, when you wrestle with the spirit of darkness and you win the battle of the doctrine, then all of a sudden, the thing that that's binding your family up. The chains of false religion that are holding captive the schools in this city. All of a sudden, the demonic world identifies and know who he is because there's been a confrontation with hell. I know who Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. What have I to do with thee? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus said, "Why, listen, while Jesus is being driven of the spirit into the wilderness, there's a demoniac being driven of the evil spirit into the wilderness. And the only hope that this city has is that a man or woman of God has already been into the wilderness, has already nailed down the doctrine, has already come to grips with the fact that there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism." This is not a weak and anemic God. This is not an effeminate Christ. He looks at him and he says, "Tell me your name. What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. Which you've got to understand. And when these things get nailed down, you're not walking afraid of what's happening in the spirit world. Once we get dominion over the doctrine, once we nail down the absolute certainty of one God in Christ, there's no placating anymore. There's no negotiating anymore. The only one doing negotiation is the unclean spirit. He says, "Come on, I know the power that you have. Not just because the Spirit of God in the man had all power, but because Christ as a man had all power. Because he figured out as a man, the Bible said that he became the Christ. That he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. That he increased body, soul, and spirit. That he gained an insight and knowledge and revelation and understanding. The man Christ came to grips with the fact that the only way to release the power of God that is in me is to preach one God, is to preach the doctrine. And once that confrontation happened, it didn't matter what hell wanted to do. All power. It wasn't just resident in the man. It was able to be released out of the man. What this city needs is a young person who's not willing to negotiate on the absolute certainty of the one God message. Somebody who's willing to go into your school, go into the marketplace and say, "This is absolutely true." What you need is a relationship with God. Come on, all across the house, let's give God some praise right now. Come on, if you're thankful that flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're thankful for today for the two who received the Holy Ghost, three who received the Holy Ghost, and two who went down in the water in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're thankful for the blood tonight, why don't you just give him some praise right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, give him praise right now for the blood. It will never, never, never lose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time, sing it all across the house. It reaches. highest mountain. Oh. One more hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Poindexter, for preaching the word of God to us. I'm so thankful for a generation of young men and young preachers that are not afraid to preach good old gospel message, that are not distracted by the fluff, but who preach the word of God unadulterated and straight. God bless you. Share your love and strength with somebody. Go out and body slam the devil. Come on, is anybody ready to give the devil a black eye in Birmingham? Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Keep the pastor and Sister Sutton in your prayers. Remember prayer Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. If you're able to make it, we're having prayer here in the sanctuary. God bless you. Have a good week. Go with God.